Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right. We'll get back to very serious sports things in just a bit, but why don't we have a little bit of fun? So today, as I was getting ready for the show, I saw a tweet from Starrcade Media, and they do a good job. Justin Ross was running routes somewhere and ran, you know, a little out pattern, caught the ball. And back in the day, this tweet would have went viral. I mean, Chiefs fans would have been talking about it, sharing it. Man, I can't wait for the season with Justin Ross. Oh, man, the Chiefs found a diamond in the rough. Hey, did you guys see what he did in Clemson as a freshman? We would have led the show talking about Justin Ross. That's how it used to be around Justin Ross. Now, he's old news. I mean, if you couldn't find the rotation in the past with the Chiefs wide receivers, how do you find it with these wide receivers? I mean, you got Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jalen Royals, Nico Remigio. I mean, there ain't really room for you if you're Justin Ross. You're yesterday's news. You're old hat. So you guys don't care anymore about Justin Ross. So this got me thinking. If I had to make the all Brett Veach social media team, first team text line, if I had to make first team text line, who would that be? Now, I want to be clear. This is just the Brett Veach era. There's no Casey Printers on here. I don't want to hear about somebody that played back in the Todd Haley, Marty Schottenheimer days. This is the Brett Veach all hype team. Now, I really struggled at corner because I think there's two people, Rob, if you want to give me a little bit of music as we do this. I struggled a little bit because you can either go Shane Buechel at quarterback or you can also go Trick Shot Alex Taney. Which direction are we going at quarterback to lead this team here? Because Shane Buechel had some backup conversation vibes there for a little bit. I mean, if something goes wrong with Mahomes, we got Shane Buechel. The Chiefs have told you every time, no. We will never put Shane Buechel in a game that matters. He can play in August. He can play whenever Trent Green and some random announcer is on the call when the game's on Fox 4, but he is not playing in the games that really, really matter. Do you have Alex Taney as the quarterback, the trick shot QB, or is Shane Buechel first team all text line?
It's Shane Buechel because the other part of the Buechel story is, and this is a peak Chiefs Twitter behavior move, he's friends with Patrick Mahomes, so you gotta give him a chance. If you're friends with Patrick Mahomes, the text line and Twitter love to give you opportunities. You just pal around with Patrick in the offseason, you get ample opportunities. So Buechel's at quarterback.
All right, you know what? I'm going to go with Alex Taney. I liked Alex Taney. Trick shot, you know, he would come in there, he would do some cool stuff. I'm going to throw him on the list, but perfectly fine if you got Shane Buechel as the QB. I actually think running back was fairly easy. You have Darwin Thompson and Prince, Deneric Prince.
No Luis Reese Zamet?
I got him as the flex.
Oh, okay.
I got Luis Reese Zamet in the flex there. Now, text line, don't lie to me. You remember how excited you were about Luis Reese Zamet. You saw him play a little bit of rugby. You thought about Andy Reid's offense. They had changed the kickoff rules. Oh, my goodness. Luis Reese Zamet, he was going to come in here and revolutionize the game. Remember when he brought that SI model and they went to Worlds of Fun? Oh, it was great. I got Deneric Prince and Darwin Thompson. And I also got Luis Reese Zamet. He's my flex. So you either can put him at wide receiver and he can kind of be that Percy Harvin do everything type, or you could put him at running back if you want. But Deneric Prince, Darwin Thompson, and Luis Reese Zamet. Wide receiver, also very easy. Darius Fountain and Justin Ross are there as my 1-2 at receiver. For a while there, Darius Fountain, he was a very popular fourth or fifth option at wide receiver. A guy that was going to come in a little bigger body, somebody that the Chiefs didn't have at wide receiver, and they were going to use him. Darius Fountain is my wide receiver for this team. Justin Ross, I mean, it goes without saying there. Of all the players that you guys have potentially fallen for in the Brett Veach era, Justin Ross is at the top of the list. Mind you, the man has a fused back, wasn't playing, and for a while there, it did look like it could potentially work out for the Chiefs. So I will give you that. It did look like it could work out. He got into that off-the-field issue. Remember where he had the little situation out in Kansas? I don't know what happened, but something happened. And it seems like kind of after that, he kind of lost favor with the team, and that was kind of the end of it.
I'm stunned you don't have Josh Gordon. Remember the text line was convinced playoff Josh was a thing and that they were some secret plays they were going to use to unlock Josh Gordon at 39 years old. Like, maybe Josh Gordon is the, you know, the first guy off the bench on this team. Because there was a time where Josh Gordon, now maybe that wasn't the offseason, was thought to be some secret weapon for the team.
Now, I will say this, and someone says, what about Derek Gore? Derek Gore was getting Priest Holmes comparisons for a couple of weeks. That was a wild time. When we were given Derek Gore, he kind of reminds me of Priest. No, he doesn't. He does not remind me of anything like Priest Holmes. At tight end, there is only one person. He might actually be the team captain for this team, Jody Fortson. There is no player that the text line has convinced themselves could really find a role with this team more than Jody Fortson. Now, I will say, for whatever reason, for a time there, he would just would catch touchdowns. He'd have 6 catches and 3 of them would be for touchdowns. He'd have 3 catches for 17 yards and 3 scores. It didn't make any sense, but there was a time there that Jody Fortson, you guys were convinced he was their number 2. I got Jody Fortson there. Now, I have an honorable mention player. Remember when the Chiefs were really struggling at wide receiver and they let Ish Smith Marzette go and they let him go to the Carolina Panthers? Do you remember that? Because for a while there, it was like, man, how could they let this guy go? How could they do this? I mean, since leaving the Kansas City Chiefs, he has had 51 yards receiving. So I think the Chiefs made the right decision. He's my honorable mention. So that's who I have on my team of first team all text line. Alex Tanny, Deneric Prince, Darwin Thompson, Luis Reese Zamet, Darius Fountain, Justin Ross, Jody Fortson, and honorable mention is Ish Smith Marzette when he got traded to the Panthers for a future 7th round pick. And people were convinced that he could have saved this wide receiver room. I think that's a really good first-team Brett Veach text line.
Do you think some of those guys still have a hive? Because there was a while where all those guys had, like, a love affair by the text line in this city. Do you still think there's a Justin Ross, oh, he's going to be something, belief system somewhere? Do you think there is people out there that still think, hey, if those guys got their opportunity in Kansas City, they would have popped. It just, opportunity screwed them. Like, same way that, you know, former varsity athletes who think they're one play away from going pro talk, you think there are fans who think, you know what, if he was just given a chance, I promise, recent it would have been a thing. I heard about him on social media.
No, because it's the only reason why I think no. I think eventually you just find a new one. Last year, it was Carson Steele. Heading into the season, Carson Steele was Justin Ross. He was Larice Reese-Zammit. He was Crocky J. He had the long hair. He played well in the preseason. People loved Carson Steele. He fumbled that one time. We've never talked about Carson Steele again. He was out of the circle. Please don't give him the ball anymore. It doesn't take much to get into the circle. It also don't take much for you to be out of the circle of being the flavor of the month. Let Smith have a really good rookie camp. Let this new seventh round pick, 238 from SMU, let him have a good rookie camp and let the team speak really highly of him. That's who he'll be. Going in a camp where you can't hit people either, and he also used to play wide receiver in college, so he's got decent hands. They'll use him in some different. I'm telling you, this SMU running back has all the makings of first team training camp. You can see it coming a mile away. It'll be him, and then it'll be one undrafted guy that we just haven't spent a lot of time talking about. It's somebody that they picked up. He'll play corner. He'll be like, man, hey, this guy's got a chance to make the team. He ain't making the team. This team too good. You ain't going from undrafted to making this Kansas City Chiefs roster. You might go undrafted and then got a chance to play for somebody else. Just, hey, it's too much competition on this team, but you can find yourself on San Francisco. You ain't being undrafted and making this team, not in their 53-man roster. It's just far too competitive for you to do that. So, no, I don't think there are people that still have that feeling about Justin Ross. I think those people have just simply moved on. Just like a popular song. Hey, I used to really love that song. Now this is the new It song that everybody's got a TikTok dance to. That's what Justin Ross was. He was a nice TikTok trend. You have now moved on to the next one.
I don't know, man. There was a time at one point last year when the Chiefs receiver core looked shaky where there were still people texting in and being like, why isn't Justin Ross getting a shot? Let one of those main guys get hurt. Knock on wood, I don't want that. But if Xavier Worthy misses six games with injury or during Rashee Rice suspension, let's say Jalen Royals isn't hitting the ground running, I think that Justin Ross love will reappear on the text line. I'm betting. They've never quit Justin Ross.
I'm telling you right now, if this organization spent a first-round pick on Xavier Worthy and they keep bringing back Juju Smith-Schuster for you to talk to me about Justin Ross in September, I'm blocking you from the text line. I'm blocking you from the text line. I don't want to hear about Justin Ross once the season gets going. Sure, we can have our little off-season fun, but when they get to St. Joe, I don't want to hear about him anymore. It's over. He had his opportunity. He had 2 years where the Chiefs spent nothing at wide receiver. If you couldn't make the Chiefs wide receiver room in 2022 and 2023, I don't know why I think you should make it in 2025 when they've spent a lot, I would say, they've invested at wide receiver. Keep it right here. Let's get back to the Kansas City Royals. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks. And get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You know what? It's been a while since we've done this. We usually do this during the football season, but you know what? I think today is actually calls for bringing back the circle of trust. It is brought to you by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City, now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mouthwatering appetizers, juicy burgers, steak, pasta, and more. And you can wash it down with your favorite ice-cold beverage and catch the game. And today at Brew Brothers, you can get a Booth Creek Wagyu cheeseburger for just $5 with your Caesars reward card. Plus, it is sponsored by Aspen Lawn Care and Pest Control, where you can expect the best. So go down there. You can get yourself a Wagyu cheeseburger for just $5. That sounds like a deal that you can't beat. So this is how I want to handle today's Circle of Trust.
With the knowledge you've been given, you are now on the inside of what I like to call the Burns Family Circle of Trust. See, if I can't trust you, Greg, then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle. And once you're out, you're out. There's no coming back.
Well, I would definitely like to stay inside the circle.
Today, Noah Cameron is making his Major League debut for the Kansas City Royals. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I know a whole lot about Noah Cameron. I don't. But I do know this one thing. I would love for Noah Cameron to be one of those people that happens to the Royals all the time. Rob, you followed Royals baseball for a long time. How many times have the Royals gone up against the guy who is either making his major league debut or early into his career? And you know what usually happens? That guy looks like Cy Young against the Royals. That guy looks like Pedro Martinez in 1998. Against the Kansas City Royals. It doesn't matter how well the Royals have been hitting before they go up against this guy. That guy in his major league debut is guaranteed to have 6 innings of 2-hit, no-run ball against the Kansas City Royals. And you're sitting there thinking, how does this always happen? That's what I want Noah Cameron to be today. I want him to be that guy that right now Tampa Bay fans, all 6 of them, are saying, oh, we can hit this guy. He's never pitched before. And then he goes out there and surprises us all. I'm guessing his folks are going to be there. His girl's going to be there. His first grade teacher is going to be there. Everybody from the Cameron family is going to be there. This is a big deal. You have made it to the major league. Just getting here is the accomplishment. And you can go out there and pitch free. You can go out there and be free today. Noah Cameron could pitch a no-hitter today. He's not staying up with the Royals. Now, he could come back, but given their rotation, given how solid they are, there just really isn't a place for him right now. So what I want you to do is to go out there, be free, and throw strikes. That's it. Nobody's asking you to go be perfect. You're going to lose this job anyway. You got nothing to lose today if you're Noah Cameron. Go out there, throw strikes, and eat up a handful of innings. That's all we can expect of you today. We had Joe Goldberg on the show. Here's what he said about Noah Cameron.
There is not a spot for her in the rotation. And that's not even, I'm not sure. Now, we could debate if he's better than someone else. I don't know how we could debate that right now because we don't know. But, and this is a rhetorical question. If you were going to bounce anybody from this rotation, who would it be? That's how good this rotation has been. That if Michael Lorenzen is your number five, and I know all managers say, oh, there's no difference from one through five. It's just, well, there is. I mean, I get the point of that. You know, you want to respect everybody and you like your guys, or at least you want to pretend like you like your guys. In this case, Matt Quatrero has every reason to like all five of his guys. And, you know, your number one's the guy you want to pitch in game one of a series or game seven of a series if it lines up right. But I think the Royals would feel comfortable with any of these five. And so it's pretty rare to have five in a rotation where maybe you have a prospect like a Noah Cameron or at some point a prospect like Ben Kuderna, the Kansas City kid, both Kansas City area kids, knocking on the door, and it's going to be hard for them to get here. That's a heck of a problem to have, no different than having a great backup quarterback in football, I guess, where, you know what, if they can't crack your lineup, it means because your lineup is that good. And so I don't – it would be great if Noah Cameron throws a perfect game tonight. I don't know. I've never seen one in person and never seen the Royals throw a no-hitter in my 18, 17-plus seasons here. But whatever he does tonight, there's a good chance that he gets sent back out tomorrow.
I just want Noah Cameron to go out there and enjoy today. You're making your major league debut. Your first time's always special. I remember the first radio show that I ever done. It was a big deal. I was excited. I finally had made it. I've had a lot of radio shows since then, but there's something special about that first one. Go out there today. Throw strikes. You got absolutely nothing to lose here. You're going back down to Omaha anyway, regardless of what happens. So why don't you leave with a memory? If this is your only chance in the majors, leave with something. Be the answer to a trivia question if you're Noah Cameron. That's what I want to see have happen today for the Kansas City Royals. I want to play this audio for you guys, and it came across my timeline, unrelated to the Royals. I still want to play it for you guys. Can you just imagine how wild of a story you would have to tell Tiger Woods for him to say, hey, you doing a lot? Can you imagine you come back from Vegas and you end up telling Tiger Woods a story, and he looks at you like, hey, man, you all right? Like, I'm imagining Tiger has seen, done, and heard some things. So for him to kind of act like you're out of line should tell you that you have probably gone too far. I'm going to play Cam Newton talking about Shedeur Sanders. Cam Newton. I mean, funny dressing, Abe Lincoln hat, I want to be an entertainer, dab. That Cam Newton. I want to play for you what he had to say about Shedeur Sanders. Listen to this.
Shedeur Sanders. This message is directed to you. Lead with work, not clout.
I think he took on the persona of a DB, not a QB. As a DB, you're able to do certain things. You can speak loud and be rambunctious and have that bravado. But as a quarterback, reminder, you are the CEO of that franchise. What do I mean? You have what I've labeled the Super Six that you have to pander to. Number one, the owner. Number two, the general manager. Number three, the head coach. Number four, the position coach. Number five, the players. And also number six, the fans. This is the best situation for Shedeur because he has to claw his way to the top. Does he have the capabilities of doing it? Absolutely. And if I'm in his camp, I'm telling him like, bro, let's get to work. Let's control what we can control now. I do see Shedeur Sanders starting for the Cleveland Browns at some point this year.
Just think about who that message is coming from. That's coming from Cam Newton. If we had to make a list of some of the more loud, boisterous, in-your-face, whatever adjective you want to use to describe them quarterbacks, Cam would be near the top of the list. And I love Cam. Loved him at Auburn. Loved him at Carolina. Cam's fun. Cam's great. dive in the end zone, Superman, do the dab on him. Cam was a cultural phenomenon when he was a quarterback. Yo, Cam is telling you, you're a little out of pocket. Now, why this matters is Cam was kind of good enough to act this way. Cam Newton might honestly be the best college football player that we have ever seen. I'm serious. He is on the short list of best college football players that we've ever seen. He won NFL MVP. He took his team to the Super Bowl. Cam Newton is one of the best football players we've ever seen. Cam was good enough to act this way. I can do all of this stuff because I'm amazing at this. The rules are different for different people. We know this in life. Some people can act a certain way. Some people can't. I mean, I wish everybody could act and conduct themselves the same way, but that's not really how life works. And usually the people that are the more skilled, the more able, they get more chances than everybody else. Cam was one of those people. He didn't say it explicitly, but that's what he said. I could do this is because I won the Heisman Trophy. I was the number one overall pick. I took Auburn to the national championship. Shadur, you ain't me. So his message in the end is really the same message that I have. I imagine the same message that a lot of you have for Shadur. Now's the time to put your head down and go do the work. Go do the work. Nothing that you did before matters. It now starts from this point. You go to Cleveland with a fresh slate in a room that is wide open. How many quarterbacks in that room are you think are better than Shadur Sanders? I mean, he's going into a room with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, and him. One, maybe? I mean, I've seen Kenny Pickett in the NFL. He ain't that good. Joe Flacco is 40 years old. I mean, Dylan Gabriel, he all right. I mean, you got a chance to go in there. You got a chance to win that job, but you got to do the work. You got to put your head down. You got to grind. And now is the interesting part, the intriguing part, to see if Shadur is actually going to do that. But, I mean, there are some people on certain issues you should listen to. I would listen to Cam Newton when he gives you this message. I think he knows what he's talking about.
Let me walk that back. I think there is very little chance that I think Shadur is going to show up and just grind and be quiet and do the work and keep his head down and ascend up the depth chart. Because the more stories you hear about the draft process, the more I think about the stories you heard coming out of Colorado and how he basically ran the show at Colorado because his dad was the coach. He never had to answer to what Cam Newton called the Super Six. Sometimes a quarterback has to answer to the fans, the coach, the position coach, and, you know, more in college. They're held to a higher standard. The CEO of a college team. That's not how Shadur was. Shadur was, the minute Deion showed up in Boulder, he was considered part of the, in my bags, Louie comment. He then showed up and immediately was on Instagram Live, you know, showing his fancy car that got snowed in. He had the song. He then had his coach, his dad, tell the band, don't play this fight song when he scores. We're going to play his song. Hey, we got to invite the whole team out because the quarterback is opening for Lil Wayne. After the Colorado State game, he went over and instead of being like, hey, good game to one of the Colorado State players, he said, I saw you on Instagram. We stand on business and walked away. I mean, he had the little kerfuffle on. There's a video of him and a ball boy from Texas Tech having a little kerfuffle.
Yeah, that was silly.
These are things that most coaches would have shut down at some point. Who was the last college quarterback we saw with this level of just like stuff and noise around him that the coach didn't put to an end? Even Baker Mayfield, Lincoln Riley suspended him for a game for all his antics. Deion just let it go, so he's never had to answer to a Cam called the Big Six. So I wonder if the culture shock from my dad's the head coach to there's actually a head coach, GM, power structure answer to, if he's capable of making that pivot. I hope so. For our business, he's fascinating work, but I think it's far more likely he washes out and we wonder, why did he get his number retired at Colorado than it is that, oh, he's the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns?
No, well, I mean, we'll certainly see what happens. At this point, honestly, it is all up to Shadur. This is that fork in the road we talk about. Like, the league sent you a very clear message about how they feel about you. They sent you a very, very clear message. I mean, fifth round picks at quarterback flame out all of the time. Is Shadur in the league in 2-3 seasons? Because I would say, just based on where he got drafted, that's a 50-50 proposition. There's obviously going to be a lot of teams, if it goes poorly in Cleveland and you're hearing stories about so-and-so, they're simply not going to want you around. You can have a long career in the NFL by people simply wanting you to be around. I don't think we give that enough credit for how hard it is to stick as just even being a backup quarterback in the league. Like, we laugh about it. Like, there is a reason, and I think we were seeing it. Hey, how did Chase Daniel stay in the league and make the amount of money that he made for a long period of time, despite never really showing you that he could be a starting quarterback? Well, he's really smart. People really like Chase Daniel. That matters in this business. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with Shadur. We'll see what his next move is going to be. But, I mean, he's going to be given an opportunity. This year, he'll be given an opportunity. They'll have training camp. He's a rookie. He's a young guy, preseason. I mean, if the Browns are what I think the Browns are going to be, they're not going to be that good. I mean, usually toward the end of the season, they start playing the young guys. They start playing the rookies. He's one of those rookies and young guys that should be given an opportunity to play if this season goes the way that many of us suspect the Browns season is going to go. We've seen this story play itself out a million times. Browns start veteran quarterback, get off to a bad record. They have a couple of young guys waiting in the wings. They try to give their offense a spark. They go to one of the young players.
Isn't that young player Dylan Gabriel, though?
Maybe. We'll see.
Like, I think what you're saying is correct. Like, we've seen the story a dozen times for different reasons. Like, even last year to an extent in New Orleans, we saw it with Spencer Rattler. Like, hey, we need a jolt to life. You're the guy.
If you can't beat out Dylan Gabriel, then there's nothing else to talk about then at this
Dylan
point.
Dylan Gabriel is a better college quarterback than Shadur, though.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dylan Gabriel was a finalist for the Heisman last year. Like, he was a better college quarterback. That shouldn't be like some, you know, we're waffling take. Dylan Gabriel was a better college quarterback than Shadur. Dylan Gabriel was a Heisman finalist. Shadur was not. He just wasn't close to that. So, I mean, I think Dylan Gabriel's going to get that shot before Shadur. Now, maybe Dylan Gabriel, because of his size and all the things, doesn't make the most of the shot. And eventually you see Shadur gets a shot in the end no matter what. But if I'm Kevin Stefanski and I'm trying to get a shot in the arm of the offense by a young guy, I'm giving it to the better college player who might be able to run the offense better.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Mitch Holtis will join us. We'll take a closer look at the Chiefs draft. We'll kind of put a bow on the Chiefs draft. Let's get back to talking about the Kansas City Royals. You guys have heard me say that you can't make the postseason in April. You can only miss the postseason in April. We don't have to have that conversation anymore. April is ending. The Royals are a 500 team. They will either be one game over 500 or one game under 500 heading into May. So they are right there. They are still in contention. Last year, there were 12 teams. There were 12 teams that were at 500 or better on June 1. 10 of those teams made the postseason. This is the turning point in everybody's baseball season. Yes, you can still make the playoffs if you are a team that's under 500 heading into June. Man, it's really, really hard to do it. And we are getting to the point, whether it's with the offense, whether it's with your team, where it's not a small sample size anymore once you get to June 1st. Once you get past Memorial Day and you've been doing this baseball thing now for 2 months consecutively, hey, we start to kind of come up with some, hey, it's now time to be concerned. So I'm looking at a couple of players for the Royals. Salvador Perez, we gave you a pass for the month of April. We haven't spent a lot of time, Rob, really concerned or worried about Salvador Perez and what that means for him. I'm not worried about Salvador Perez yet. Salvador, you got 1 month to figure this out. You got 1 month. Because I think we would agree, Rob, like, you aren't making the postseason with the version of Salvador Perez that they currently have. Not the one that you had in April. The guy that hit 225, didn't really hit for a lot of power, didn't really drive in runs for you. You're not making the postseason with that version. All right, you've played 30 games so far this season. It's early in the season. Nobody's pressing the panic button on Salvador Perez. You got one more month to figure this thing out and turn it around. I would say the same thing for Vinny Pasquantino. Now, I'm a little bit more concerned about him just given the fact of just been a while since we've seen Vinny be good. I mean, he really hasn't been good since the hand injury last year. I mean, Vinny, heading into the month of May, he's hitting 174 right now. He has 3 home runs, and he also really isn't driving in a lot of runs for you now at this point. So this team has managed to be 500, and out of their big three from last year, only one of them is doing what they're supposed to do, and that's Bobby Witt Jr. He is having an incredible start to his season. He's one of the best players in baseball, but you haven't gotten the version of Jonathan India that you expected. You haven't gotten Salvador Perez to give you his normal offensive output, and you haven't had Vinny Pasquantino now in almost 70 games. If you date back to last year, and when the injury happens in this organization moving forward, you didn't have him in September. He was playing in October, but obviously wasn't really healthy and probably came back too early in order to really help you in the postseason. And so far in the first month of the season, he's hitting 174 with minimal power this year. If this team is going to go on a serious run and get back to the postseason, they're going to need those three individuals out of their big four to really pick things up offensively. And this is usually the month where you do it and you define if you're going to be a playoff team or not.
And there have been some positive signs from Salvi. Like, as Joel Goldberg said, there's, you know, he's starting to hit the ball harder. He was hitting below his weight for a while. He's starting to hit a little better. He had the huge day against the Rockies, the day of the draft, the doubleheader. He's had a good night last night. Like, there are signs of positivity around Salvador Perez. Someone else is going to need to do it. Denny Matthews on the show all the time saying the offense has got to be more than three people. Right now, it's not three. It's 1.5, 2. Salvador Perez is turning the corner. Bobby Witt is a superstar. He can't stop hitting. And everyone else is just, I mean, to say blah is just a compliment. I mean, there are guys who have been bad on this team. They need to get going. Jonathan India is getting on base a little bit, but he's not hitting at all. That's got to get corrected. I mean, Bobby Witt's a star. Vinny Pasquantino, there is real concern with him for me because you're right. Since the injury, it's been a whole lot of nothing. And everyone loves Vinny, but he better start hitting because everyone's excited about Jack Caglione. He's playing right field. Jack Caglione can also play first base. There's no reason to lock in Pasquantino forever if he ain't hitting post-injury. That sometimes happens to people. Mikel Garcia is a nice plus, but Michael Massey isn't hitting at all. Kyle Isbell isn't hitting. We've talked about Hunter Renfro ad nauseum on this show. Like, your offense isn't good enough to be carried by three people. Denny Matthews says all the time, they're not even at three right now, but they're winning, which is great, but they need more. I feel like we're going to have this conversation over and over again this season.
Let's continue to talk about the Royals coming up on the other side. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, will be on the show coming up in 20 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I promise I want to get back to the Royals, and we will just coming up in a bit. Right now, Shedeur Sanders has the number one rookie jersey and t-shirt, according to NFL jersey sales. This is why the rest of us make fun of Cleveland. I don't like making fun of Cleveland. Cleveland's never done anything to me. I've been there one time. I wasn't there for a very long time. Cleveland was a very fine city in my very limited interaction. But this is why the rest of us make fun of you if you're a Cleveland. He's a fifth-round pick. He's not going to start for you guys. You hopped on the NFL.com website and bought his jersey and bought his T-shirt. I mean, if anything, I'm going to wait. I'll get the Mason Graham jersey. He's a first-round pick, top-five pick. He's going to start. I'll wait to get that Shadur. I'll wait to see how this thing goes. He might not even make the team. This is what happens when you're not used to winning. So you got to just grab anything. You got to grab any excitement. And that's what you're doing when you go get the Shadur fifth-round pick quarterback jersey. Can you imagine you're walking around town, you're wearing the jersey of a backup quarterback? Have some dignity. We're not talking about this isn't Patrick Mahomes, who was picked in the first round, you know, eventually is going to be your starter. This isn't getting the Aaron Rodgers or the Jordan Love. Yeah, eventually. Or the Jackson Dart uniform. Yeah, those guys are eventually going to start. Shadur, he might be a bust. We might not ever see him. You can't be going to the team store right now getting the Shadur authentic jersey. Cleveland, this is why you'll never win anything. This is why the rest of us mock you. This is why the rest of us laugh at you. Because you guys would do some goofy behavior like this. I can't support this. I can't support this at all. You going to pick up the Shadur Sanders game worn. Rob, when's the last time that you got a jersey? I actually got you a jersey. When you got engaged, I got you a throwback KU circus font. What was it, like the Paul Pierce, Rafe LaFrance? It was one of those.
It was Rafe LaFrance. You would never spend money on a Paul Pierce jersey. Come on now.
Yeah, isn't that a good point? I couldn't remember who it was. I knew it was an old 90s KU player. I just couldn't remember which one it was.
I'm trying to remember what the last one I bought was. I don't know. I'm not a huge jersey guy. Like, I have a few, like, you know, I'm eventually going to get, like, hung in my house because, like, they're old school. Like, I have a Derek Thomas. I'll get hung one day. But, like, I don't really buy. I mean, I guess Eric Berry maybe in the last jersey I bought. Like, I'd say Eric Berry. When he got drafted, I was convinced he was going to be a star. He was kind of right. So I would say Eric Berry's the last one I bought.
I want to read this text to you guys very quickly. Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, Rob, winning, more goes into winning than the Royals' record. The Royals, in my opinion, are not winning. They're average at best. If you look at their body of work, right now they are equivalent to a 9-8, 8-9 football team. I wouldn't call that winning by any stretch of the definition. This is where I think that we sometimes grade the Royals on a very unrealistic scale. What would you say the Royals were last year? Because I would say if we were using a football comparison, they probably were, what, a 10-7 team that ate on bad teams? I mean, they were .500 against the rest of baseball, and they went 12-1 against maybe the worst team in modern baseball. I would say that's what they were last year. But all you want to do is potentially get into the dance and give yourself a chance. Doesn't matter. You don't make any excuses or apologize about making the postseason. You made the postseason last year. The rules are simple. Win this series. They then won the first series against the Orioles. They swept the Orioles. Then they played the New York Yankees. I don't think you have to apologize for that. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think the Royals are an 8-9, 9-8 football team. 9-8 football teams make the postseason every single year. Now, is that a Super Bowl contending team? No. You're not winning the Super Bowl if you're a 9-8 team. You're probably going to lose to a Kansas City, a Philadelphia, a Baltimore, a Buffalo. You will probably lose to one of those teams. That's what the Royals did last year when they lost to the Yankees. I don't have any problem if that's what the Royals are going to be. In fact, I would argue that if you are 40, 45 years old, the Royals have very rarely been a 9-8 football team. Very rarely have they been that. Think about the Chiefs in the 2000s. I imagine you guys thought the 2000s were pretty fun. Sure, they didn't win a lot of Super Bowls, but they did some cool things. Dante Hall happened. They made the postseason a couple of times. Like the Chiefs have. Now, sure, they've had their ears in pockets of being bad. The Chiefs have always been a playoff team, always been in the conversation. They've always been relevant. That is not how the Royals operate. There have been pockets, decades in which the Royals haven't been competitive. That if you're telling me that we're now not happy with them being the equivalent of being a 9-8 football team, I would tell you it ain't been that good. In fact, it took them a decade to get back to being to where they are now. They were really good in 2015, and they were bad for a very long period of time. So if that's where they are now, the equivalent of being 9-8, maybe 10-7, sneak into the playoffs, and we'll see if we can do something. Hey, I'll take that for a couple of years because it is far better than the alternative of what they've been for most of our lives.
What I think the Royals are, and why I think some Royals fans are frustrated by this team, is that they kind of remind me of the Texans. Remember, the Texans made the playoffs, you know, 2 years ago. They were the surprise. C.J. Stroud was a rookie. They got in the playoffs. It was, oh my goodness, can you believe this team got in? You know what? They won the AFC South. They dethroned the Jags. It was a rookie coach, rookie quarterback. I can't believe it. And then they went in, they beat the Browns, and it was optimism abound. Then the offseason went out and they got Stephon Diggs, and everyone thought the Texans are taking that next step. They didn't. They were the same team last year or the year before. They were good enough to win the division, good enough to make the playoffs, good enough to win a playoff game, bump their head against the Chiefs, bing, bang, boom, season over. That's what I think the Royals are. They were a surprise team last year that was good. They beat up on the dregs of the league. They are basically, for a football equivalent, 10-7, boom, in the playoffs. This year, they look like the exact same team. I understand why fans are frustrated they didn't take that step, because people thought, oh, you've now got in, take the next step to be a division type of in, be a, you know, you don't have to play in the wild card type of in. They don't look like that team, but you shouldn't discount the fact that at 15-15 with the dregs of the league still on the schedule, it feels like another 85-ish win team, and 85-ish win teams make the postseason, and there's a value in that. And with their pitching staff, maybe they win a series or two again, and there's a value in that. I feel like fans, because of the Chiefs, are too quick to be like, it is championship or bust. No. That's how some teams operate, but most teams operate in the gray.
Yeah, but this is where I think maybe we are being a little bit unrealistic. You want to know when the Chiefs took a next step? They started adding significant pieces that improved them. Their defense was bad. They didn't just bring the whole defense back and like, well, hey, we just changed defensive coordinators. Maybe things will be different. No, they signed Tyrann Mathieu. They signed Frank Clark. The Royals are the same team as last year plus Jonathan India. That was a big step forward. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I'm saying is if you thought that the Royals were going to take some big step forward, they didn't make enough moves to think that they were going to take a big step forward. A big step forward is signing a outfield bat that hits 25 home runs and 90 RBIs. That's a big step forward. They added Jonathan India. So, yeah, their offense is a little bit different than it was last year. But, I mean, a large majority of their team stayed the same. So the results have largely stayed the same, right? I mean, I don't think that's some crazy thing to think that I don't know how you expected them to be much different when they didn't really make a lot of moves to be much different this season. Now the question is, the guys that you are relying on, what do they look like? You got to get Vinny Pasquantino back at some point. All of these conversations fall flat if he continues to be what he's been. You have not had Vinny Pasquantino for the last 2.5 months of a baseball season. You have not had him so far this season. You didn't have him during the stretch run last year. And someone on the text line makes a good point. It's not a coincidence that the Royals' offense has started to turn things around once Salvi started hitting a lot better. Salvi's hitting .400 in their last six games, and the Royals are 5-1 in their last six games. They really need somebody to step up alongside Bobby Witt Jr., and when they get that, they got a chance to be pretty good. They just haven't gotten that a whole lot so far this season. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Keep it right here. So drive.